Lord God, as I come this morning, slow my racing heart, ease my worried mind, and let the very words that I utter this day be what you desire to be heard, not only for these your people, but for me this day as well. God, enter into this space and make it whole. Enter into this space so that your voice might be heard. This, O God, is my humble prayer. Amen. Up the mountain. Up the mountain. Our text tells us of Jesus and his disciples. Three, in fact. Then if you look at the text, it appears quite intentional that he's chosen Peter, James, and John to go up to the mountaintop with him. And they go up to the mountain, and as they are standing in this place, I can just imagine, had I been there, that like James and John and Peter, I would have been looking out over the vista. That I would have been honored that Jesus had invited me into his sanctuary. Because throughout our scriptures, we will read and have read that Jesus would go off by himself to pray and to be unto himself. But on this particular day, it says he took three with him to the mountaintop. He didn't go up there alone. He went up there, and we're not really sure what the disciples knew or did not know. We're not told. But they went up to the mountain because Jesus had invited them up to the mountaintop with him. And as they were on this mountaintop and dealing and accepting this experience, something began to happen. As they were more than likely looking around at the beautiness of where they stood, and as they could look down on that which was below them, something began to happen on this mountain. That Jesus began to face to shine like the sun. His clothes became a different color. And as they began to look around, they realized that Jesus was not on the mountain just with the three of them, but there were two others on the mountaintop with them. Jesus was speaking to Elijah and to Moses, whom they would have known about, having not only been Jews, but also having been with Jesus. They would have understood the power of this moment. And it might not have frazzled them too much. But then the scripture tells us that as they were on this mountain, that something began to happen as a voice began to speak. And this voice says, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And like I said to the children, he says to them, "Listen to him." Immediately we hear that the disciples at that moment were afraid. At that moment, the beauty and glory of being on this mountaintop had changed, because they were being told to do something. They were being told not just to enjoy the beauty and the vastness of where you stood. You weren't just on the mountaintop to look at how things were, but you were on the mountaintop to listen to what God through Jesus would command. In other words, my friend, there was going to be some work to do. There was going to be something that had to happen. On this mountaintop stood these three. And in order to kind of break the silence, Peter says to Jesus, "Do you want me to build something? Do you want me to make something on the mountaintop? Because I want to believe he wants to hang on to where they are. He wants to remember this space. Jesus doesn't say, don't build. I can imagine Jesus just began to walk down the mountain. And then he says to them, do not say a word of this. Do not speak of this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. But I'm here to tell you that somebody talked. I'm here to tell you that somebody said something, because we wouldn't have it in the book if they had never told a mumbling word. We wouldn't have the story if somebody didn't get off the mountain and say, we got to tell somebody what happened up yonder. Indeed, they told the story. I wasn't there, Susan, for that story. I can only read about this particular story. But there is another mountaintop experience that shaped my life. And that mountaintop experience would happen on April the 5th of 1968. It would be when I would be looking at the television set and they would be replaying all of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches. In particular, they were replaying the one where I've been to the mountaintop. I didn't know what I was getting into when I started listening to this speech and watching this speech. But for those of you who do not recall, Martin was in Memphis for the sanitation strike. And he was called there to speak. And when he got to Memphis, he didn't feel well. He was under the weather. So much so that he had decided that he was not going to go and speak to the sanitation workers. Instead, he sent his trusted and best friend, Reverend Ralph Abernathy. Ralph gets to the church like this, and Ralph looks out over y'all, and Ralph realizes that y'all didn't come here to hear me. Y'all came here for Martin. The church was packed. It was overflowing. And Ralph knew in that moment that he didn't have a word that was worthy of the moment. So Ralph gets on his phone, and it wasn't cell phones back in the day, so he had to go back to the office and call the hotel. And he says to Martin, you need to come. You need to come because they're looking for you. I might be able to say a few words, but Martin, you need to come. And somehow Martin pulled himself together, and he came to the church that night. And on that night, when he began to speak, he began to tell them about what their call was to be, that they were to stand with the sanitation workers, that the injustices that were going on were not right and not fair, that they needed to be together as a people so that those who were not being treated fairly with unemployment would get better unemployment. And he begins to tell this entire story. I'm not going to read you the speech sight for sight. But there was something in Martin beginning to preach that day and to speak that day that just pulled you right in with him. But the ultimate piece was when he says to them, I've been to the mountaintop. And I've seen the promised land. And I won't get there with you. But I guarantee you, I can tell you today that you will get to the promised land. We as a people will get to the promised land. In those words, he was a little boy who was 11 years old. And in that moment, I knew that I would get to the mountaintop. I knew that I may not get there with Martin, that I may not get there with my mother or my father, that I may not get there with my sister or my brother, but I knew that if I stood on justice, that if I stood on peace, that I stood on God's grace, that I too would get to the mountaintop, that there was nothing that could bring hurt, harm, or danger to me. I felt in that moment that I, like the disciples on the mountaintop with Jesus, that I was on the mountaintop with Martin. Even though I was sitting in my own living room, there was something in the spirit of which he spoke. There was something in the manner in which he said his words, that I could sense the power of the Holy Spirit coming all over me. Woo! Still feel it today. I was on that mountaintop. But I want you to know something. Martin didn't go to the mountaintop alone. Jesus brought three people with him that night, that afternoon. But Martin brought an entire congregation. He brought an entire congregation of people to the mountaintop with him. And he told them this story because indeed, just as Jesus talked with the disciples, they couldn't stay on the mountaintop. They had to come down into the valley of the shadows of death. And they had to fear no evil, for God was with them. God's rod and thy staff will comfort them. God will prepare a table for them in the presence of their enemies. God will anoint their heads with oil. Their cup will overflow. For surely and goodness and mercy will follow them all of their days. They had to come off the mountain. They couldn't stay up there. They had to come down into the valleys of the shadows of death and do the work of God in the valley. They had to go into the hamlets and highways. They had to stand with the sanitation workers. They had to push for a better educational system for all of God's children. Black children, white children, Hispanic children. They were called to stand up for the injustice that were going on in their time and place. Yes, they went up the mountain, but they also had to come down into the valley. Because you just can't stay on the mountain all day long. You can't stay on the mountain all your life. You are called in the name of Jesus to come on up that mountain and do the work of God in the world. Indeed, they were dealing with the same issues we were dealing with today. They were dealing with homelessness. They were dealing with lack of housing. They were dealing with the prison system that was really getting into full stream, which had already been in stream before, but was even becoming even more prevalent, where all of God's children of color were being thrown in jails for reasons that were just farly unknown. The prison complex was just beginning to really take a strong shape in that period in time. Indeed, Martin may not have been here to talk to us today, but Martin is still asking us to get off the mountain, because we've been to the mountaintop. We know that we will be with God someday. But the question is, who are we bringing with us? Who's coming? Who am I lifting up? Who am I building up who's torn down? Who am I helping who is weak? Woo, I feel like preaching. Y'all better look out now, because indeed, God is telling you and me today that in the very world in which we live, in this Chicago, Illinois, we need to get off the mountain and we need to come into the valleys. For those who are struggling with our immigration system, for those who are being detained for no reason whatsoever, for those kids who are being held captive, for those who are being held in places that are undeserving of them, for those who are struggling with mental illness and we provide no services for them, oh, we ought to talk today, because we need to get off the mountain. Yes, we can come up the mountain, but we got to come down. Sisters and brothers, on your cover of your bulletin, there's a picture of a young man who's very dear to me. I kind of like him. He happens to be Barbara and my son and Justine's brother. That picture that you see is us standing in South Africa, and we're looking out over this mountaintop view. And what impressed me when I pulled the picture was, if you notice what Jason is doing, he's not looking down, he's looking up. He's not looking down, he's looking across. And when I saw that picture, I realized that it brought me back to the experience that we had when we all as a family stood on this mountain. It was a beautiful vista. God's creation is amazing. And as we stood there, I realized, looking at that single picture of Jason standing there by himself, that he wasn't alone. He didn't get to that mountain by himself. He got there because of his mother and dad nurturing him, raising him, caring for him, loving him in spite of who he was, loving him because of who he was, loving him anyway in the good times and the bad. I realized that when I saw that picture, I realized that here is a young man who now has reached this mountaintop. It's up to him to come down. It's up to him to go into the valleys of the shadows of death and fear no evil, for God is with him. It is for him to do God's work in the world, just as it is for you and me. My friends, God is inviting you and me up the mountain to join God in the holy work of the world. God covets us to be God's hands, to be God's feet, to be God's mouthpiece in the world. Will you? Will you go up the mountain with Jesus? And furthermore, will you come down, having been transfigured into something totally new, something totally different, something totally beautiful, something totally marvelous? And I know it's scary. I know doing the work of the Lord is not easy. I tell folks when they join church and they become baptized, I said, the real work begins now. If you think that it's been hard being a Christian, wait till you say yes to Jesus. If you think it's hard living a life that is right and true, just try to be obedient to your Bible. If you think that it's hard living day to day, just try to say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. Just say it. And I'll tell you, the world will seem immensely tougher. But I want you to know that God's got your back. God's got your front. And God's got you covered all over. So this day, as we sing our hymn this morning, I hope that you are singing this hymn asking Jesus to walk with you, because you are ready to get off of the mountain. You are ready to come down into the valleys of the shadows of death, and you are willing to stand for what is righteous, what is true, what is just in this nation, in your community, and in your church. Let the Lord be with each and every one of us. Amen.